Lucia Rubito from Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. I'd like to recognize my colleagues, Dr. John LaFonte in the Department of Biostatistics, Lizzie Holt standing back there, good morning, in the Department of Epidemiology, and Dr. Shahid Iqbal. Sorry, his name's not up there. He's now with the Centers for Disease Control. Would you like to catch up? The title of my presentation is Epidemiologic Challenges in a Post-Disaster Environment. That would be New Orleans. And the project that I'll use as an example is the New Orleans Healthy Home Project. The purpose of that project was to obtain prevalence estimates of home health hazards and a representative sample of households in New Orleans. We wanted to look at environmental exposures and primarily respiratory outcomes. We also wanted to look at individual level characteristics and neighborhood characteristics, a multi-level model. The purpose of it really was to compare these estimates that we got in a general sample of New Orleans homes meant to represent the Gulf South and compare it to some data that we did, a project we did earlier, where we looked at these characteristics in the homes of asthmatic children. So we were really looking for background levels, if you will, to see the differences if the prevalence estimates and the exposure estimates that we got in asthmatic children's homes really differed tremendously from background levels. Well, we wrote this project prior to Hurricane Katrina. When I was evacuated, it was probably 4 days after the storm, I got word that the project was funded. I was kind of surprised. I was on a farm with no internet access. Tulane, of course, was closed down, no server access. I had called into my project officer on another project that they funded and just let them know, here's a Yahoo account if you can find me. Well, I got word that it was funded. Just as a reminder, this was August 29, 2005, and 80% of New Orleans flooded. That translated to roughly 120,000 homes. Of course, remember, we're doing a survey of New Orleans homes. This is a visual. You've probably seen it before. As by way of reminder, the northern part of the city is bounded by Lake Pontchartrain. The southern part is the Mississippi River. You see the nice crescent. That's why they call us the Crescent City. The only places that didn't flood is the southern part, which is right north of the river. We call that the sliver by the river, if you've heard that. And then very, very northern part, just south of Lake Pontchartrain, that represents two streets. So otherwise, pretty much everybody flooded. So we were funded post-Katrina, and we added two additional aims to this study. One was to describe the environmental health risk perceptions of New Orleans residents. We thought that was interesting for people who were living in a post-disaster environment. And also to describe both individual and neighborhood level characteristics and psychosocial stressors. So the GIS presentation is, of course, relevant to us as well. The study design is a very simple, straightforward, three-year cross-sectional study of residential-based hazards, health and environmental hazards, and those are two additional aims that I just told you. We cut out all biologic measures, thinking, again, that would be a challenge in a post-disaster environment that we just simply couldn't overcome. I don't see anybody volunteering for a study at this point to have their blood tested, do multiple spirometry, et cetera. So we just knocked that out, and it became a simple cross-sectional study. So it's going to come, I'm sure. There we go. I'll just ramble on. So I wanted to talk today about some particular challenges. There are five of them. Selecting the target population, the sampling frame, sampling procedures, response rates, and then how on earth do you interpret your data. These, of course, are standard. Generally, if we had done this, we would have concerned ourselves primarily with response rates and data collection, being sure that our tools were valid, being sure that we were getting high response rates. Today, what I'm talking about is just going to be taking the sample itself. And so that's the focus of my talk. So the first thing we had to decide was, well, we were funded, as I said, in, maybe September 3rd, 05. Tulane University shut down. We weren't allowed to enter the city, of course, as you all know. When we came back, it was January 06. I had to work and find the the offices at Tulane, the IRB. We had to rewrite the work plan. We had to find staff. Just a whole lot of things changed. So the very first thing when we sat down to rewrite the work plan was our target population. Should we exclude some parts of the city due to the fact that they were too devastated, they were unpopulated, and perhaps they would never come back? So what is the purpose of this study was to represent New Orleans, but I wasn't really sure what that was in early 06. The repopulation we knew would be dynamic and unpredictable. No doubt people would come back, but it was unpredictable. So we made a decision. This was our first challenge. This was our first decision that we were going to include all homes in repopulated areas of New Orleans and occupied housing. We were going to recruit using what we call a wave-in pattern to capture the dynamic nature of the repopulation. So basically, we would choose our sample, but we would recruit them in waves. Otherwise, I would get a non-representative type of person in my strata and probably would never be able to capture that group. I think we were probably correct there. Our sample size was cut in half because they cut our budget in half. They said, we really didn't want to not fund you because of Katrina. But on the other hand, we were watching the news and we couldn't justify giving you, you know, a lot of money. And so, because I called and said, how am I supposed to do this with half of the budget? Is there a methodologic thought behind it? And they said, no. I said, okay. So I knew that my sample was cut to 100 homes, which is okay, I suppose. But I knew that I would be able to grab them from certain parts of the city if I just recruited immediately. So that's why we did the wave-in pattern. We did, however, decide to exclude on two factors. One, if you lived in a FEMA trailer, because that's temporary housing, although people in Florida who are still in FEMA trailers might not agree. And then three areas of the city, and New Aurora, English Turn, Venetian Island, and Ville de l'Est, because they actually don't represent typical New Orleans housing, and I would have excluded them despite the storm. This is floodwaters, and I'm not going to go through that, but that's just showing you the change, the difference in flooding. The amount of flooding is, we thought, would directly impact the final population numbers in the city. All right, the second thing we needed was, well, we needed a sampling frame. Normally, as the previous speaker said, you can pull census, you can pull lists of addresses in a home. That's not a difficult thing to do. But in New Orleans and post-Katrina, nothing made sense. There were absolutely no data that were representative of this city. So we scoured around, and this was almost a point at which we had to stop the folly of doing probabilistic sampling, because that's what we were trying to do. We didn't want to do a non-probability sample. We really wanted to try and do probability sampling, the purpose of the talk, to see if maybe we could do that. So we were lucky. We found out that the Louisiana Public Health Institute, along with the Centers for Disease Control and the U.S. Census, had zoomed into New Orleans and done what they called a rapid population estimate. When they did that population estimate, they secured a roster of households in New Orleans from the Sewerage and Water Board, and they shared that with us. It's not a great database, but, well, it was a database, and it has some advantages. It's complete. In New Orleans, we have only one water source, so anyone who had water used the Sewerage and Water Board, and there's universal coverage. Some disadvantages are the time frame. We don't know when that database was put together. And there were definitely errors. But basically, we wanted to know where people were in New Orleans, where do they live, where do we get the roster. Well, once we secured the roster, I wanted to do a stratified random sample. What was a stratification unit? Somebody asked that previously. What makes sense? Well, since nothing made sense, we went with what we could find. As I said, our sample is 100 households based on funding. We estimate our precision, if you use a P-based with detectable mold and the 2080 exposure, plus or minus 8.0%. We have a lot of endpoints, and that's for simple random sampling, so hopefully we'll do a little bit better, but we'll see. The sampling strategy, as I said, was a stratified random sample, and population occupancy rate estimates, we decided, would be stratified by 10 planning districts. These planning districts we chose because they were the unit of stratification that the rapid population estimate used. And here they are. Planning units are something that we have never used before. I always use census tracts, but we didn't have that level of data. So what we did was we thought this was okay, because in post-Katrina, as the planning efforts have gone on, they're very much neighborhood-based. And so these planning districts, although they're political units, do represent neighborhoods in New Orleans. You'll see the French Quarter CBD, the Lower Ninth Ward, the Bywater, Gentilly, Lakeview, Uptown Carrollton, Mid-City. So I think that they are recognizable to people who live in New Orleans. Ideally, I would have preferred a smaller unit of stratification, but that just wasn't really possible. There we go. So our procedure was we took the Sewerage and Water Board data set, which had all of the roster. We geocoded it to a census tract, then took planning district addresses and linked planning district to census tract. That was the best we could do, and anyone who's worked with GIS data knows there's going to be some errors there. And as we've pulled our sample, we're very familiar with the city, so we can tell when those errors have occurred. We've analyzed those errors, and they appear to be random. It's just errors in coding. But that was the procedure that we used. The U.S. Census 2000 data was combined with post-Katrina occupancy estimates that we got from that rapid population estimate. And we combined those two, and we used those to develop our sampling parameters. This is similar to proportionate sampling, where the population strata sample sizes are proportionate but to the population size. But the twist on this was that we had to decide what the population size would be, because we didn't feel that any of the data that we had, the 2000 U.S. Census nor the rapid population estimates, were going to be reflective of the city of New Orleans in even 2 years, 3 years' time. So our assumption, when we decided then what that population would be, is that the repopulation of New Orleans would eventually be a function of both the pre-Katrina occupancy patterns and the amount of devastation. So we made the decision in early 06 that we, at least in our infinite wisdom, thought that the city would come back, all of it, every bit of it, but we didn't think it would ever come back as it was before the storm. So we took both pieces of information and combined them. So our sample was chosen, remember, stratified by planning district, and the allocation fraction for our sample per planning district was the total number of occupied housing units in the planning district divided by the total number of occupied housing units in all of Orleans Parish, which is the same thing as a county. The total number of occupied housing units in the planning district was equal to the proportion of overnight occupancy per planning district that we got from the rapid population estimate, LPHI, the Louisiana Public Health Institute survey, times the number of pre-K housing units that we got from the 2000 U.S. Census per planning district. I have an example on the next slide for the French Quarter. For example, from the rapid population estimate, which gave us the planning district population, 56% of the French Quarter was occupied. The total number of occupied units in the French Quarter was approximately 3,267. That's combining it with the U.S. Census data. The total number of occupied housing units in Orleans Parish from the rapid population estimate, the total, was approximately 65,000. Therefore, the allocation fraction for the French Quarter in our sample was going to be about 5%. The French Quarter had 5% of total occupied housing units, so we said that our 5% of our sample would come from the French Quarter. So we did that for each planning district. It was easy because our sample size was 100. We didn't even need to use our computing system. So we broke it down into 10 planning districts. We threw out those two that I've mentioned. Now, we did have some zeros. Here it is again. It's not exactly proportionate sampling because for the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans East, there was zero population. So we added a one. We wanted to, we felt that there would be housing there, but definitely lower in proportion to everybody else, so we popped in a sample there. Then because our protocol was to hand deliver, we couldn't rely on the U.S. mail, so we hand deliver each of these. We had a system for pulling the number of dresses from our sampling frame that we would need in order to achieve the required sample size planning district. The number of addresses took into account our anticipated non-response, which is typical you would do, but in addition to that, it had to take into account vacancies. Because remember, our sampling frame was pre-Katrina, so we didn't have any idea what was occupied and non-occupied. So we said the total number of addresses that we pulled were equal to the required sample size for stratum times the stratum-specific occupancy indicator and a response rate of 20%. So, for example, to enroll 5 housing units from the French Quarter, we needed approximately 45 randomly selected addresses. We took the occupancy rate in the French Quarter, an inverse occupancy indicator, 20% response rate, times the 5 that we needed, so we get 45 addresses. We sampled without replacement. We pulled 1638 addresses total. As I mentioned, the areas with negligible occupancy, specifically the lower 9th Ward in New Orleans East, were oversampled, and we did the wave recruitment. Now, the second to last challenge I want to talk about is response rates. Well, response rate is everything, right, when it comes to a sample. If you have a random sample pull, that's great. You have a valid data collection tool. It's all about response rates. Well, we had to determine our denominator. So the sampling frame was just a flat file of all housing units that received water service in Orleans Parish pre-Katrina. So what we did was we developed an occupancy status protocol. All the studies materials, as I mentioned, are hand-delivered. At the time of drop-off, our field staff determined the occupancy status of each household. Otherwise, my response rates would be zero, you know, 1% or something. Each housing occupancy was determined based on a 21-item occupancy criteria that we set out. So we sat and brainstormed 21 indicators of occupancy. Based on that, the occupancy was designated as 1 through 7. We threw out 6 and 7, no address and businesses. Those clearly went out. And the denominator for the response rates were based on that designation. I think it's going to come up. And here are some of them. For instance, it goes all the way from you knocked on the door, you received an answer, that's clearly occupied, to the house isn't there. Well, that's clearly unoccupied. We got pretty creative. Like if curtains and blinds were in the window and the doors and the windows were intact. And so what I asked the staff to do is instead of just circle, occupied, unoccupied, or something along the continuum, I wanted them to back it up with one of these 21 or as many of these as they used to base their determination on this. In order to make it standard, we had a training where, I'm not sure it's standard, because all 4 of us had something different to say about each house, but I used 1 field team, so I think that's the very best we can do. Now, on my response rates, then, of course, I can play with these, because I can use as my denominator any one of these, and my response rates will vary whether I use as my denominator a 5, which is obviously occupied, or maybe I will combine 3, 4, and 5, or 2, 3, 4, and 5, perhaps to be the fairest.